Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Sam.
And we are licensed therapists who talk about digital culture and internet culture and how it impacts our mental health.
Yeah. And insights on how we can sort through all of the noise that we get regarding information around mental health and helping you actually figure out how to apply those things to yourself.
That is a good little nugget, Sam. None of you can see us today. Normally, I don't have makeup on and I look like I'm wearing like a sweatshirt, and Sam is always like really nicely done up with her incredible eyeliner that she needs to teach me how to do. And Sam today is matching my energy. We are recording on a Sunday morning, yeah, in our defense.
It's Sunday morning, and I could not – there are some updates that you are not being given yet but will be given that explain, yes, why I was so exhausted and we were talking about it off the air, if you will. But yeah, I
love how there needs to be a big reason to explain
for me. For me.
Such a huge reason, guys. That is the only reason, God forbid, that I don't have eyeliner on. Okay, side
You're
note.
Right.
I'm sure you're not, yeah, being served this because you don't need this product where the algorithm is like, you desperately need this product. Okay, have you seen those, like, there is a product that you can like easily do your eyeliner. It's, mm-hmm, it's like a press and release, and it just gives you the perfect eyeliner, oh, and it apparently stays for like multiple days. And I'm, oh, how did you get so good at doing eyeliner?
I'm pretty sure I've done 10,000 hours worth of eyeliner in my life. I've been doing a wing since probably 2013.
I mean, I've been doing a wing since that long, but I do a wing once a month.
It's become kind of like my signature. In 2016, I was a full beat all the time. Cut, yeah, crease, under eye, whole thing. And that kind of lasted for a couple of years. But then, you know, after the pandemic, I feel like people got really, like, couldn't manage that level because, yeah, also we weren't going anywhere. So,
yeah,
why do I need a cut crease in my house?
I do think that is where my makeup skills really atrophied. Pandemic.
Yeah, pandemic.
Pregnancy.
Yeah, no.
Having a child.
Having a toddler. Yeah, no. I tried to do no eyeliner, and I just did like a basic shadow with some mascara. Mm-hmm. And I just, it didn't feel like me. I did it for quite, mm-hmm, some time. I was like, well, I just need to adapt to it and get used to it.
I just like, when I do the line, it's just like scraggly.
So, okay. So the key is you can't pull on your eye. Because the problem is if you pull on the skin, it, yeah, distorts the shape, mm, of the wing and the length of the wing. No, this is good because I've actually, people in my DMs have, yeah, been like, I'm so sorry. Like, how you look doesn't matter, but I need to know how you do your eyeliner. So I might be doing like a TikTok or something that tells people how I do it. But so I use pens. Mm-hmm. So I use like the gel pens.
That has like a felt,
yes,
tip.
Yes, it's a, okay, felt. I prefer felt tips. How I do it is I like kind of tilt my head back a bit. Mm-hmm. And you want to look at where your eyelashes kind of naturally,
yeah,
go up.
Okay, this is my problem though. Also, my eyes are like different a little bit.
Yeah, no, sort of. Mine are too.
So it's like hard to.
I kind of like force myself into this because I have hooded eyes, mm-hmm, a little bit, just, mm-hmm, enough. And so I always start with like the line.
Yeah, and then you fill it in.
And then I kind of swoop it across like the whole eyelid. So I don't, yeah, do like the, like a perfect triangle and then try, yeah, to do it across. Also, there's a methodology for brows, which says brows are meant to be sisters, not twins. Mm. So like it's okay that your brows, like natural face shape would indicate that your brows are going to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
But you just want to make sure they're clean. So sometimes for eyeliner, that is the mindset that I'll have.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of times like the littlest of differences I'll get like super obsessed about. And then that's when you can start to like overline and, yeah, overcorrect it. And then next thing you know, you look like Amy Winehouse. So you start like super small.
Yeah.
And I also tell people too, like, if you are just starting out with a wing and you want to get better at a wing, just start with like a super tiny one.
Okay, we were supposed to talk about snark culture, but also someone was asking me to talk about like beauty culture and the line of, well, people know that I get Botox. And I will happily disclose.
Yeah.
But as we've been talking about eyeliner for the past 7 minutes, maybe it is an interesting, you know, beauty culture. What is the line between – I think it came because I did a post this week that was like, what you look like is the least interesting thing about you. And it's like, how do we live in this society that we want to, I don't know, as therapists or myself, right? I want to teach my daughter that how she looks is the least interesting thing about you. Mm-hmm. And Sam, I think you're a really good person to talk to about this because I think that you believe in like taking care, like you know, I think I've gone to the opposite end of the spectrum sometimes of just being like, I'm just going to put my head down. I don't care what I look like. And I'm just going to like grind it out for a few years. But then, right, it's funny that I say that because I've been like not caring what I look like, head down, grinding it out for like since 2019. So
my whole life.
Well, so it's like, is that really what I'm saying?
Right.
Am I ever going to stop doing that? And that was what the little like epiphany I had that I was talking about in our like joy episode about like starting to finally make my bed. So it is this interesting line of what is the line between not being obsessed with what we look like, not falling into beauty standards and being afraid of aging and caring too much what we look like and falling into kind of that patriarchal mindset, but also taking care of ourselves and finding joy and feeling like this is me and I clothes or makeup is an expression of who I am.
My initial like first response if someone comes at me with kind of this quote unquote concern.
People come to you with a concern of for you
or no, no, no. Them? Like okay. for them. Like okay. client like we've talked not about like, them.
How do you justify?
No. God no. And even if they did, I wouldn't care. No, more like
I don't know if people DM'd you saying that or something. Yeah.
So people will DM me asking about like makeup or you know getting dressed up for work or like those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But in my work with my clients, the discussions evolve like much more naturally than that, where it'll be like, I don't like the clothes that I'm wearing. I don't feel good in how I look. I don't know how to take care of myself. I feel like I don't understand like what I like or what I don't like. And my first initial response to anybody that is kind of in a transition period like that is that there is nothing more identity building than establishing what your personal style is. Personal style goes so far beyond just like the clothes that you wear. Personal style to me is, it is a very value-based element of yourself. And so my journey with that is I when I do my makeup or when I get ready or when I do my hair, I really like how that makes me feel. It has nothing to do with saying like, oh, I'm trying to change how my face looks.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to hide in some of my clothing or I'm trying to change something about myself. Same thing with my hair. For me, when I put that effort in, that really boosts my confidence. That boosts how I feel about taking up space in the world, taking on the world, doing things that I want to do, putting myself out there. I like how that makes me feel. And for me, that really started all the way back with my hair. And I know we've talked about this on the pod before, but for those of you who maybe like forgot or missed that episode, I had massive curly hair in the early 2000s when that was not something one wanted on their head. And I, like, one of the best things my mom did was, like, she forced me to figure out how to work with my hair. And she forced me to try new things and figure out how to style it and deal with it. And
rather than just like being like, let's go get a keratin.
Yes. Yes. Let's just go like straighten this thing into oblivion and we'll just do that for forever.
Yeah.
She was like, no, like it's your hair.
Yeah.
Like you have to figure out how to deal with it. And I spent years, trial and error, different products, like what works, what doesn't work, what makes me feel comfortable, what doesn't make me feel comfortable. I spent like 2 years just having my hair up in a ponytail every day because I hated how it looked. Mm-hmm. Then I spent like 2 years never putting it up because it was kind of like a protective mechanism. Then I got to college and I felt like I was able to like explore a little bit more. And then in that process, I was figuring out that I really liked makeup. I really like clothes. I was trying to decide what types of clothes that I like. And it was allowing this evolution of myself to move forward as I better understood who I was as a person and how I wanted to present myself.
Yeah.
Fast forward to today, something that I've learned about clothing is try as hard as I do. And I do, I will sometimes buy them and then I'm like, no, this just isn't me. I am not a dress girly.
Did you buy a Hill House dress? We had talked about if Sam was going to try a Cosmina Hill House dress.
I haven't. I think if there's one I'm going to do, that's probably the one.
Yeah.
But I feel anytime I have a dress on, it's not me.
Yeah. Do you follow Alison Bornstein, by the way?
No.
Oh my God. She is the most incredible stylist. Like, I don't normally follow personal stylists or care about this, but I subscribe to her Substack and I listen to a couple episodes of podcasts she has done. And she – I don't know how to explain how good she just teaches you how to find your own style. Have you heard of the three-word method?
No.
Her whole thing is like you have to find three words that define your style. And what was so helpful as I've listened to her, and she has like a book too, of like it's really, really helped me in her kind of being like you have to be a little restrained with what you wear because otherwise it's just like everything. And I've struggled a lot with my life. I really liked clothes growing up and I went to a private school where we had like a pretty strict dress code. So like my fun thing that I would do is I was always trying to find ways to like bend the dress code
and get
to things.
Hell yeah.
So there was like this really strange, you had to wear like a collared shirt or a dress, but there was and if you wore a dress, it had to be like, I think short sleeve or like three-quarter length. I don't know. There were a lot of rules with it. And there was this one weird loophole in the dress code where you could wear a turtleneck. And the reason you were allowed to wear a turtleneck was because the bookstore sold turtlenecks.
Oh, I've like heard that. Yeah, like if it was sold by the school, you could buy something in that style somewhere else.
Yes. So I got tons of turtlenecks, even though they weren't sold by the school. And this was like the loophole I would use. And I would put them under like sleeveless dresses, sort of.
That like was in, though, the layering.
It was. Yeah. I mean, if you imagine sort of like a nap dress with like, you know how they did the turtleneck under, that's sort of like some of the stuff I would wear. And you weren't allowed to wear boots, but I loved boots. And it made no sense to me. Why can I wear heels, but I can't wear like a high-heeled boot? So I would get sent, but the dean like really liked me. And I would always get sent to the dean for my dress code, but I didn't really care because I was like, I look really like professional and nice. I would be wearing like a nice dress with like a turtleneck under it and like zip up high heeled pointy boots.
There you go. Look at you.
Like 10th grade.
You were a fashion girly.
But I was told, you know, that I was breaking the rules. But anyway, that whole aside. Yeah, I grew up liking clothes a lot. And I think when you struggle – I think it's very normal, obviously, in like middle school and high school to be very interested in clothes because you just want to fit in. And it's sort of a way that you think if you can find the right clothes, you'll all of a sudden like be popular. Everyone will like you. You're right. Wearing the right thing, which sadly did not work out. I'm here to tell the tale. I was pretty well dressed and people still didn't like me. But
truth hurts.
I know. My whole point in saying that was I haven't known what my style is at all, and I've fallen into trends a lot, I think, and certain things I've liked, and I just haven't known what to wear, especially once I stopped going into an office and I became a therapist, because kind of my whole life I like wore a dress code. Like I'm very good at like dressing business professional.
Yeah. having like rules and expectations.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, that's a good way. That's how I didn't think about it. And then, yeah, there were like no rules when I worked for myself and I didn't really know what to wear. And then the pandemic happened. And yeah, so her whole thing is you have to find three words, one practical, one aspirational, and one emotional. It's a really cool thing because I like how she also talks about you need to kind of have constraints.
Yeah.
Sort of like you have constraints of your house. Like not everything you buy fits in your house, even if it is cool and you like it. And I used to buy lots of bright colors and different patterns and things. And then I would like not wear them and I never know why. And my mom is someone who's really into like colors and patterns. So she always tries to like buy me things like that or gets frustrated when I don't. And my life has gotten way better since in the past 6 months. I've just accepted that I like wearing neutrals. I don't like a lot of pattern. And it doesn't mean I don't like something. Like that's what used to help. Like, cause I don't know. I feel like we've been, even I'm in this culture of like, you should wear bright colors and like, you know, sad millennial beige mom recovering, bring back color. You should be happy. But I'm just like, I don't like how I look in color. I don't feel comfortable in color. Not because there's something wrong with it. I just don't like it on me. Like I will wear a burnt orange. I will wear a mustard yellow. I will wear green. But it has helped me so much because everything in my closet that I don't wear is typically a color that I don't like, a pattern I don't like, or like a cut I don't like that I've been convinced by someone else on someone else's body to wear. And now when I see these things, these trends, I can be like, oh yeah, I like that on her, but that doesn't mean I'll like it on myself.
Right. Well, what what's the quote that's like, do you like that outfit or is the person skinny?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's a, you know, is the person skinny and 5'11"? Like built like a hanger?
Yes.
You know, genetic lottery sometimes, depending on how you look at it. Or genetic lottery for the fashion industry, I should say. Not any truth to that, but in their world, yes, that is the ideal person they tend to be marketing towards. But I also, like with the colors thing, see, I've learned I have to be like all jewel tones.
I would say I'm similar in that.
I tried really hard to be like a neutral girly.
Okay, well, I'm not that. I'm both, but
I tried really hard to have like more neutral colors. And the thing that I realized was I was like, oh my God, why just doesn't work? And then I was like, oh, I look like I'm dying of consumption.
What do you mean dying of like
consumption, like tuberculosis? Like I just look ill and like faded and like I need to go to the sea for the air, you know? there's like certain colors that I'm like, oh, I literally cannot buy that thing because it looks awful. But yeah, I think you tied in perfectly to kind of like the story that I was telling as well, which is this whole thing is really about you discovering who you are. And I think people are really daunted by that process because there's a concern that like you're not going to fit in, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a really strong chance that a lot of mainstream trends or things that are in or the way to do things or the way to be – that might not be your vibe. Yeah. And so you might have to endure these periods of time where like, that's just not you.
Yeah. And that is why like the Hailey Bieber's, by the way, can do every trend.
Correct. Right?
Because like, if you have like a very live figure.
Yes.
You like, almost every type of clothes, every cut looks great on you.
Right. Yeah. It just works. You can, you can, even if you might not love it yourself, you can like force it to work on that type of a frame.
Yeah.
It's a recent discovery that I've had.
Yeah.
While living in Florida. I can't do shorts.
Yeah.
One day I was looking in the mirror and I was like, I'm not built for shorts because my legs are too tiny. But I can power squat. And so, like, my thighs don't match.
You just like how, you don't like how it looks.
I just don't. I should take that back. Everybody gets to wear whatever they want.
And there is something empowering about being like, I love this and I'm going to wear it anyway. Fuck flattering.
Absolutely.
Which I agree with.
Absolutely. Wear whatever you want. Do whatever you want. Be whatever you want. The purpose of this episode is not to sit here and tell you, like, what is the best way to like do or be. No, not at all. What we're talking about here is how this idea of like finding your style, finding what you like, spending time dabbling in the beauty world, if you will, mm-hmm. is about you feeling empowered for you.
And I think too, like, I think it's an interesting thing to say that, Sam, because I think you can be like, I'm going to wear whatever I want and that's yeah. great and that's good. But at least for me, when I've done things where I'm just like, well, I'm going to wear this bright print or I'm going to wear this color because mm-hmm. I like this outfit. Mm-hmm. It is often, though, the thing that then gets no use in my yes. closet. So yes. I think what you might be also saying is like, yeah, I can wear shorts.
Right.
But I don't feel comfortable with them. I don't like them. And I keep trying to convince myself to wear them.
Yes.
And then I don't wear them. And then it's a waste of money. Where, yes. And I really – that's like something that Alison Bernstein talks about in one of her words being like – right? Like one of my words is casual because yeah. it's just like, sure, I'd love to say that I'm not. But like
– right.
We got to start with where we are.
Yeah. Meet ourselves where we're at.
Right. Which my baseline is very casual.
And thank you for like rounding out the shorts thought, because I do realize that that was coming across as very judgy and that was not what I wanted it to be. I was getting to that point exactly yeah. of no, like I all of a sudden felt this freedom to be like, I don't have to worry about building out my yes. shorts collection. Like
shorts capsule.
In my shorts capsule, I just feel better yeah. in longer pants.
Yeah.
And all the different styles that that affords. I just prefer mm-hmm. how that fits my frame.
Yeah.
And that was like a radical moment for me to kind of like release the need to be like, oh, well, like it's summer and we're doing this. So yes. I have to have shorts and I have to, right? And so you listening, like I want you to apply that same theme in your life. Like think of something. Is there like a round peg square hole that you keep trying to force it to fit yeah. because you feel like you have to?
Right. Like every capsule wardrobe yes. you see up, like you, everyone must have, right? Yes. A long sleeve, white, crisp button down shirt, which right. I have and I've never worn.
See, I...
Where you do.
Don't you put know? A button up in front of me because that's coming home with me, you know? Like, but that feels like flattering and fit to me. And see,
yeah.
I know, okay, so there's this group of girls that I'll hang out with and do stuff with. And we did this like tea time
yeah.
group.
Yeah.
And I was the last one to show up because I hit traffic and I was a little late. And I, first of all, I looked incredible. And I did get compliments that I looked incredible. So that's not. I'm not judging how I looked because I looked amazing. I had on the cream Sloan wide leg trouser from Abercrombie. Like, cannot recommend that pant enough. It is incredible.
See, I am the opposite of you of like trousers just
– I kill it.
Trousers don't look right on me.
I kill it.
I don't know how to – it's like everything's too big, too small, too wide.
You would need to get a tailor. You would need to take a pair of pants to a tailor. And have
I just feel like when I sit, it's like bunches of, I don't, I also am a hard person to find clothes, like, because I'm really sensitive and picky. It's part of my problem with makeup, too.
Oh.
Because, like, whenever I have makeup on, I can't wait to just take it all off.
It's a feeling thing.
It feels oppressive. Mm.
See, that got driven out of me when I would work 12 hours at the hospital.
Yeah.
Now I'm used to it. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine. Finishing my story. So that people don't think I just like brought this up to be like, I looked incredible at a tea time. Thanks. And so I had on this like incredible cream lace top from Cezanne mm-hmm, mm-hmm. with like a camel colored belt and camel colored sandals mm-hmm. with a matching tote. And I showed up and I was the only one out of a group of 12 that had on pants.
Yeah.
And all of them were in like the lovely little like frilly feminine dresses. And it was like a powerful moment for me because I was like, I would not have felt like me
yeah.
if I had shown up in that.
Yeah.
I would not have felt like me. Like I feel so all the way put together when I have on like my perfect type, like blouse top with like the perfect bottom. Like that is, I really like that style. I like that vibe. Mm-hmm. I love a blazer. I love coats. I love accessories. I got confused with the 3-word rule because yeah. Ralph Lauren has the 3-piece rule, like, which is if you want to feel put together, and this is employees at Ralph Lauren stores, this is the rule they have to follow. You need 3 pieces.
Yeah.
So you can't just have like a top. And a pant.
Yeah.
You and like you have to have a belt.
Yeah.
With jewelry.
Yeah.
Or you do like a cardigan over your shoulders.
Yeah.
Or if it's a dress, you have the belt with the jewelry with something else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
since following that rule, I found I do feel more put together. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like my outfits feel finished.
Yeah, more intentional.
Yeah, more intentional and thoughtful.
Yeah, but. I like that because Alison Bernstein talks about like layering and the importance of layering and like how it creates depth to a look and stuff. And I think that's really – because I am a pretty – I'm just like pretty minimalist in like a lot of things. Like I wear the same – I wear my wedding ring and – my like gold bangles and sometimes I'll put on a necklace. I started looking at pictures of people of how I liked how they dressed. And a lot of it is like additional layering, especially if you live in Florida and it's like super hot and it's hard to do three pieces.
Right.
Like she talks about one of the best ways to add a layer is through jewelry and things like that.
Right.
And that helped me understand why someone can wear jeans and a white top and they look really great and put together, and why when I do it, I'm like, this is done.
All of this to say.
Hopefully someone's getting something.
I hope so. You know, because you brought up at the start of the episode and then you've brought up before, like, oh, you know, Sam like always looks put together. Mm-hmm. And I think it's exactly what I said at the start, which is I have taken the time to learn about me in that way. Mm-hmm. And that is important to me. And that how I present matters to me. Now, I've had to fight through some mental stuff with that a bit. And it hasn't always just been like this perfect, like utopian view in my mind of like, oh, I perfectly adapt. Like, it's been really hard because also like I'm very short. Mm-hmm. I'm 5'2" on a good day. And sometimes clothes have been very hard for me to wear. I feel really intimidated by different styles that I want to try or, you know, branching out. And so it's been very helpful for me to explore, but then accept what doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Now, I think if we're veering, like, I think there's like a really important story here too that I think we want to talk about, because I think the clothes and the makeup and the hair and all of that is all changeable all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like at any point you can decide like I'm never wearing this again, or I'm wearing this all the time, or I'm doing this, or I'm never going to wear makeup again, or I love makeup, or I'm coloring my hair, or I'm embracing my grays, or, you know, like all of that.
Yeah.
I think something that's really interesting is the topic of like filler and surgery and procedures. And so I would love to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of thoughts of stuff that I'm weighing right now, but.
Yeah.
I want to hear.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so interesting. I mean, I get Botox and I've been getting it since I turned like 31. I think I started during the pandemic because I was like staring at myself in the mirror or not in the mirror, in Zoom. And I really like getting Botox. But yeah, like I get how people don't. I think it's amazing. I know you don't. Like, I think it's amazing that people don't. I don't even know why. I guess maybe I should have a more concrete opinion about this. I don't know. Like, I think it's hard because, especially in the eating disorder world, there are a lot of people who are very against Botox, very against any sort of like modification
to the body.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And two of my favorite creators, they wrote a book called More Than a Body. And they're very into sort of saying like, we all need to resist this like culture of body modification and things like that. And, you know, they don't shame people, but they are kind of like, what can you do to like push back against it? And I think it's hard. Like, I think that in an ideal society, I guess we would, all not do it. And I think it's like, capitalism gets involved in here because it's like the not everyone is able to afford to get
even if they do want it.
Yeah. Whether it's GLP-1s, whether it's, you know, Botox filler. I mean, literally like surgery is now so, you know, people get it. I mean, look at the way we've talked about teeth on this on the podcast before and how people are going to different countries to get veneers. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I feel like it's different. Like, I think that I still want to look like myself. Obviously, that's a slippery slope in terms of I know that eventually I'm – right? Like, I'm not going to look like myself. I guess, also justify it as just a therapist. I spend a lot of time – I don't know how you never furrow your eyebrows, but I furrow my eyebrows a lot, and I felt like I was getting creases there. I mean, I'm not like crazy with it. I get it like 4 times a year and I do wait for it to fully leave.
Gotcha.
Because people online told me that if you don't do that, you like your facial muscles, they can like atrophy over time. I don't get filler. I did go through a period in the pandemic where I was like, oh my God, I now see like my marionette lines and ooh, I could do a filler here. And when I was getting it done, they were like, yeah, you also have a line on your chin. You could get filler there. And it is a slippery slope of I get how you can fall down all kinds of rabbit holes. I guess I don't have too much fear with myself because I tend to really want to be natural even when I wear makeup.
Yeah.
I don't wear tons of makeup. Mm-hmm. And when I was in 2018, I had a really bad fall down a flight of subway stairs and I like cracked open my face and I ended up needing like stitches on my forehead. And I've gotten lasers done to reduce the scar a lot, but it's a very big prominent scar. It is still raised on my face. You can't see it that well, but it is like a line right here. And I just remember waking up and being like, oh my God, I don't recognize myself in the mirror. Mm. And I've heard about people talking about that.
Carrie Underwood talked about that after she had that fall and like cut her face open. She said it was really hard for her to think of like being public facing again.
It's very disorienting to not recognize yourself in the mirror. And I'm not saying that that like made me want to do Botox. I mean, I also have friends who do Botox. It's very normalized. So I guess I wasn't scared to do it in that way. And I knew that it would wear off. But yeah, like it is a slippery slope. And especially when I was like, I wouldn't recommend it if someone's in an active eating disorder, I think necessarily too, because when I was actively in my eating disorder, like I was obsessed with the idea of, you know, getting like liposuction and getting cool sculpting. And I think everything is like a risk. And that's sort of the issue. You don't know how your body will change. And yeah, I think for me, like the line I have is if I don't become obsessed with it. Like once it starts to become obsessive, I think if I started doing filler and really like looking up close to my face, I think that's when the line for me would be like, this is bad and this is not good for me. But yeah, like I don't – I guess I just like measure my mental health of it, of like if I can't handle my Botox wearing off, if I can't handle – seeing like the most ironic thing is I've struggled with my skin a lot growing up and even into my 20s. And the best thing I did for my skin was stop fucking doing so much.
Yeah. Just letting it be skin.
And I think there is like so like the 10 step routines, like there's it's so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm always someone who fantasizes about finding my exact perfect whatever it is, like clothes brand, you know,
right,
product, and then never having to worry about it again, which is unrealistic. But I do like a couple things. And again, when I was getting married, like I think the worst of it was when I was getting married, because when I was getting married, it was like what I would tell myself is this is probably the most attractive I will ever look in my entire life. And I need to like capitalize on that, because I was like, never again am I going to have like professional photos taken like this, and never again am I gonna like look this beautiful in this like wedding dress and have my professional makeup done and have my hair done. And yeah, that was kind of, I just really had it that like there was a lot of pressure I put on myself on my wedding of like, this should be the most beautiful I ever look in my life, and this should be like the happiest day of my life, which we could do probably a whole episode on wedding culture. But yeah, so I got very obsessed with like facials and buying really expensive skincare. And I was so obsessed with getting rid of the scar that I like definitely went down rabbit holes. But now I kind of treat it like I do it. I mean, I also like get really bad. When I got pregnant, I got horrible melasma. So I had just like so much sunspots all over my face, which I did get lasered off. So yeah, I guess my line is whether I'm crazy about it. And I know I'm pretty good at that, at knowing that, because I'm in recovery, like what that line is. Like to me, I'm kind of like, with anything, if I can't stop doing something, I know that it's me and I need to chill and I need to stop.
I think you've also done a tremendous amount of self-awareness work through all of like your healing. And so I think all of that allows you to have a measured approach to this thing where you can have a clear, cogent understanding of why yes. you're doing it. Like, what is the actual end goal?
Yes.
And I think that's what trips a lot of people up.
Mm-hmm.
Is I think there's some people from the outside that look at someone getting work done or changing things about them or whatever. And there's kind of this immediate like, why are you doing that, man? And I think it was the same thing with like the initial backlash to GLP-1s.
Yeah.
It was kind of this like deep resentment that like, why can't we all just like love ourselves exactly as we are?
And it was a lot of like naturally thin people yelling at people.
Yes.
Saying like, you should just accept your body right. the way it is. And it's like, okay, that's really easy to say. Like, we do live in a fatphobic society.
Exactly. We do.
And there are studies and real research that show that how you look does impact mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. And it's like that women make less as they get older. Like mm-hmm. that is a real thing. Okay, so if you're listening to this episode and feeling like, oh my gosh, I could actually really use a therapist, we've got you. My practice, Therapy for Women Center, has therapists licensed in 43 states across the country. All the therapists are hired by me, trained by me, handpicked by me, and we really back and support our therapists. We vouch for them, unlike some of these big online therapy platforms. Also, if you're local to the Philadelphia area, we have 3 office locations there. So I would love for you to go to our website, therapyforwomencenter.com, and check it out.
I think what all that ties into is like, you don't get to judge somebody for decisions that you only see on the exterior.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on. You don't know the perspective. You don't know the thought that's gone into it. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's no one's business. I think at the end of the day, like, it's no one's business what people do or don't do or decide or not decide. Yet, what I would say to like one individual person who's like, well, I want to do this, 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 and this, or I want to change this, this, and this. The larger questions about any of this topic, I don't care like what direction we're talking about, whether it's like makeup or filler or GLP-1s or the clothes you wear or finding personal style or finding like, you know, figuring out how to do a freaking wing, right? I think what so many people don't do, and this is what I would challenge a lot of people on, a lot of people don't ask themselves, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Why does this matter to me? Why am I wanting to change this about myself? Mm-hmm. They don't allow that deeper layer of exploration.
Yeah.
And I think without that deeper layer of exploration, that's where you run the risk of the, it's never enough. I need more procedures. I need more this. I need to buy more of these clothes. Yeah. I need to buy more expensive clothes. I need to, you know, be investing in this. And then that is where you get in the loop of it never ends, because you haven't actually asked yourself or taken time to understand what is important to me. Mm-hmm. What do I value? What do I want to look like? Mm-hmm. How do I want to present to the world? And that spectrum of answers is endless.
Yeah.
Again, like, none of this is me saying it has to be one way or the other, right? Like, look at the difference between you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm someone that I worry about those things. I think about those things because of how I've realized I feel more confident. I feel like I show up as a better, more solid version of myself when I feel good about how I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
And looking in, like, have my makeup, my hair is at least done as good as it's going to get. And like, I like the outfit that I have on. I like the clothes that I'm wearing. That has been important to me in stepping out into the world.
And I think as a single person, honestly, not saying that single people and, you know, coupled people should act differently, but I do think that there is a level of, I think if I were single, I probably would consider that a lot more, because I think that the hope is you don't know who you'll run into, and it is like an opportunity, and that if you don't feel good in how you look, mm-hmm. you're not going to like, I don't know, be as outgoing necessarily.
Well, and you know.
But maybe that's not fair for me to say. I don't know.
No, the single thing is very true. And it's something that you think about. And this goes mm-hmm. into what women struggle with this idea of the male gaze.
Yeah.
And now this is straight women. I'm talking about heterosexual women, which I am in that camp. It is like this really hard line, because for a woman who is like very forward thinking, I very strongly identify as a feminist. I very much believe in the importance of my independence and my freedom and all those sorts of things. And you get fed content and ideas and concepts of like, well, you need to decenter men. Like, you can't be doing this for men.
Yeah.
And it is this weird space of like, okay, correct, right? Like, I don't want to be taking care of myself solely because I think it's going to get me a man.
Yeah.
Is it a part of the equation?
Yeah.
When I go out and I'm getting ready and I'm thinking of what to wear? Yeah. Because there's a part of you that like today is to be a bit of a peacock. Like you kind of have to go out and put forward your best foot. And I've also had people say to me like, well, but that shouldn't matter because he should love you like however you look. And I'm like, well,
totally. But I think it also is even more about you.
Yes.
Like I don't talk to people on airplanes and I like, you know, but if I had the possibility of a meet cute on an airplane, I would probably put on a little bit of makeup.
Yeah. Yes. As a single person, I think about how I present. And I think that was actually kind of like the motivation of when I brought up earlier of like, stop passing judgment on why people are behaving the way they're behaving, even if it's in a way that you wouldn't, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're dating or meeting people approach is to be super casual, this is me, take it or leave it, great.
Yep.
You are an insanely confident person.
Yep.
And that is deeply admirable. And that is how you get to move through the world. And I'm very proud of you.
Yep.
I don't feel that I'm in that space yet. Yep. This is why like I keep looping it back to though, like, you have to take the time with yourself to understand what your relationship is to all of this, because that's really what we're talking about here.
And like what your intention is, right? Of like, I don't typically love to get my nails done. I find it boring and annoying and a waste of time. And I just hate the act of going. Like it's not fun for me. And I used to like make myself go because I was like, it's gross to not have my nails done.
Yeah.
And then once I like got clear about like what is worth my time, like I like getting my hair done. I'm happy to sit at the salon. Do I want to go every 6 weeks and spend 4 hours there? No. Mm-hmm. But what is your intention? And I think that's the big thing of if you're just getting your nails done because everyone's getting their nails done and that's what you think you have to do. If you're just getting Botox or lip filler or other filler or buying certain things that you don't like that and it's not genuinely for you, I think that's more like conformity than self-care or doing something for yourself that you like or putting on makeup, I think can be a form of self-expression.
Going to the spa.
Yeah.
I think I've had people, because I do not threaten me with a massage.
Yeah, same.
I will say yes every time. Facial.
I will choose a massage over a facial every time.
See, I'll do both. I'll be like, no, I need, we'll do both. 90 minutes. Okay,
if you had to, which one?
Oh, okay. I would do massage.
Okay. I think, there you go.
Yeah. I would choose, but I want to do both. Also, 60 minute massage never feels like enough.
I agree. I don't fuck with 60.
It's got to be 90.
So I would rather get less massages and do a 90 minute. Like I would rather go less.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I feel like I don't ever settle in fully until like 30 minutes.
No, it's got to be 90.
I also find it's like a very good form of mindfulness because you like can't do anything else and you are very focused on the sensation that's happening. But I also don't like to be pet. Like I like an elbow in my shoulder girdle.
you want them to be like working that out.
Yeah.
If I'm starting to have to like count my breaths while they're like working out a knot, I'm like, hey, can we ease off a little bit? But no, I 90 minutes, I want to check out from the world.
My assessment also with like getting work done is, right, because someone who had asked me, they were like, but you are going to age, right? What is the line between not like, you know, chasing anti-aging and sort of doing it for yourself? And I think for me, the line is, I know I'm going to age.
Right.
I know that that's going to continue to happen. I see this as sort of just like, it's like retinol, but a little stronger sort of. Like I don't imagine that I'm going to wake up and not have aged in 5, 10, 20 years. I'm just trying to
raise the bottom a little bit.
And I think, like, it's different than trying to, I don't know, like, I think if you're trying to change your face, I think that's also different.
Yes.
Right? If you, I think some people really feel like, especially the people that get, like, addicted to plastic surgery, they truly feel like they can change how they look. Yeah. Like, I think if you can accept yourself of this is your bone structure, this is your face, this is how you're going to age, but there are some things that you're doing to kind of lessen it along the way.
I think if these little tweaks here and there, if some of these procedures, ways of living, if you will, if that helps you step into aging better, and you find that you're able to accept the next part of you more because you know that there's things that you can do to make it feel more tolerable for you, by all means. Like, the Diane Keatons of the world are truly remarkable women. Women who are like, I've never done anything. I've never touched anything. This is me. I want to be me. I think that she is so stunning and so beautiful and so incredible. I also look at Jane Fonda, who has had nip tucks everywhere and is very proud of it. And she flaunts it and she looks incredible. Look at Dolly. She built her whole brand around, I don't even care that you know this is what I do. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. And I think every single woman where she falls on that spectrum, you get to decide where you fall on that spectrum. But are you prepared to stand 10 toes down with your decision? Are you at peace with your decision? Are you at peace with the procedures that you've had done? Do those procedures make you feel like you are now more in touch with yourself as a person? Did it make you feel more confident? Did it make you feel like you could be more authentic in your personality and the way you are around people, right?
Where you just wanted to do it and it's not like negatively impacting you.
Yeah, you just wanted to do it and you're like, oh, okay, that went better than I thought. Hooray.
Obviously, I think if you are, you know, a plus size like content creator and you built your brand around this, I do think, honesty is really helpful for an authentic relationship.
Yes, yes, yes.
But I think, you know, if you want to go get some things done, like, I don't think people owe us an explanation, but I do think when you're someone like, when you're lying, when you're hiding, like when you're treating your body as a trend and you're pretending like you're not doing that, like, that is my big, big beef. Like, the amount that the Kardashians have lied, hide, photoshopped, double down when people call them out, then reverse all of a sudden, right, because they think it was Kylie who came out with, like, her, like, surgeon's name and all of that.
I so agree because it's confusing. Because it's like you get mad at me for saying, like, oh, clearly you're getting this done. And you're like, why are you shaming me? This is my body, blah, blah, blah. But then you come out with the truth and then you get mad at me that I'm that you're now telling the truth about what you're doing with your body. And it's like, I'm with you 100%. People get to do whatever they want with their body. It doesn't matter. Don't preach to me a certain way of living, a certain way of being. Like, you know, Chloe spent a lot of years saying, like, oh, I just work out 50 million hours a day and, you know, eat really well, which, like, that was true to a point. And she was also supplementing with GLP-1s. So,
yeah, and has gotten like 10 other procedures.
Infinite amounts of work done and, like, labeled it all over. I think on her podcast, she went on and was like, I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this. And I get it because the other hard part of this too, and I think of the other content creator that comes to my mind, and we've talked about her on this episode, is Remy Bader, right? Plus size content creator, ended up using GLP-1s, became very
and
upset.
Got a pretty intense, I think she had bariatric surgery.
Bariatric surgery, all of it. People are allowed to evolve.
Yes.
People are allowed to change. People are allowed to feel one way about something at one time and then a different way about it at another time. You are allowed to evolve. What I ask for is authenticity through that process. And I think honesty with yourself. Right? It is one thing to be able to look back and say, like, there's another business owner and content creator that I think of, Molly May. She was on Love Island UK, blew up as an influencer. She now has, like, a clothing line. She has a really interesting documentary on Amazon Prime, actually. But she got filler to the point that, like, her family sat her down and they were like, we're worried about you.
Yeah.
And hers was, she was really young. She was like 21. She got totally whipped up in like, you know, posting online, being a media presence, being a star, like a huge reality TV celebrity and everything that came with that. And she had them all dissolved.
Yeah.
And she speaks about that process. And I think that is such a valuable sense of vulnerability for her to share with us. And I really appreciated that insight of like, yeah, I did it at this one time and it helped at that time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't help me now.
Yeah.
And we need to allow people that chance to evolve.
Yeah.
What I think people need to hold back on is like, is feeling under attack when you decide to change.
Yeah.
Like kind of the defensiveness, the resentfulness towards other people. It's like, well, no, like that just means you haven't dealt with the internal stuff of why you're needing to change or do this differently. Mm-hmm. Like if you're mad at people for pointing that out to you.
Yeah.
Why are you changing it then?
Yeah.
Like, are you changing it because you really want to change it? Are you changing it because you feel like you need to? Like,
yeah.
I think all of this swirls around. Everybody needs to just take like 10 minutes with themselves sometimes and allow that uncomfortable self-reflection mm-hmm. of like, ooh, who is this for? And the answer might be it is for you. But the mm-hmm. answer might also be like, ooh, actually, I was doing this to make somebody else happy. And I don't think I want to do that.
I think it's also interesting as we're talking about this. And again, like this is – we need to do another episode on this. Mm-hmm. But I think it's so interesting with influencer culture about like, again, this didn't exist like 20 years ago.
No.
Like the way that we have access to – knowing what someone looks like and mm-hmm. watching them change over their life, mm-hmm. but not being friends with them or knowing them intimately while thinking we do, but they're not a celebrity is such murky ground. Like it is so interesting that anyone that is slightly public facing, we can monitor mm-hmm. how they look
and how throughout they live
their life. And it is so bizarre as I'm saying that out loud. I also think like how young you are is interesting too.
Yes.
To bring up that she was so young when she got fillers mm-hmm. done, or when I think mm-hmm. about people being really young and getting mm-hmm. plastic surgery, right? Like I know in Mormon culture, a lot of them all get boob jobs and nose jobs yep. when they're like 16, 17, yep. 18. I know mm-hmm. a lot of people regret surgery that they've had later because mm-hmm. it doesn't always like age in the way you sort of wanted to. I think mm-hmm. that ethically has more concerns for me because a lot of this stuff is permanent and you can't mm-hmm. you can dissolve filler, you can, you know, things like mm-hmm. Botox wears off, certain things like, you know, there can be long-term repercussions when you're young and don't know exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it is hard. It was really hard in Mormon culture. The hypocrisy of it, yeah. the obsession with it and filler and all these sorts of things. But then they're like, never, ever get a tattoo.
Right. That's what's so insane. It is the most blatant example, I think, of hypocrisy mm-hmm. that I know of in terms of like, you can't drink coffee or get a tattoo, but you can go get your eyebrows tattooed on.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get lip filler. You can get breast augmentation, you can do tummy tucks, you can do vaginal reconstruction.
Yeah, and it's good. It's like the church wants me to be beautiful and more feminine, and I'm doing that. And it's so weird to me. The like, I don't know. I think this is a broader culture than just – or a broader topic than just in Utah, but the amount of people that are all looking alike. Like, have you seen mm-hmm. those mm-hmm. videos of people like bringing up, I don't know, like actors in the 90s and like how different their teeth looked and how different all of these like people looked. And now
everybody looks the same.
Everyone looks the same. And mm-hmm. it is wild. Mm-hmm.
That was to maybe like full circle this thing.
Yeah. Land the plane for us.
Land the plane. I think I brought up my hair at the beginning because that was something that like I stood out.
Yeah.
And it made me different.
Yeah.
And that's really hard when you're 13, 14, 15. Like you don't want that. You want to blend in. You want to feel like you belong. And now it's like my greatest asset. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to love it and I've learned to embrace it and see that it's like an important part of me. It's what like mm-hmm. makes It's part of what makes me me is like my curls, right?
Yeah.
When I have straight hair, people don't know what to do. Whether we're talking about clothes or makeup or filler or procedures or anything that involves you and how you present yourself and how you feel about yourself, this is a relationship. And we're really talking about the relationship you have with yourself.
Yeah.
And the understanding you have of yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you feel confused on that, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because it is confusing. There's a lot of confusing messaging. And your own unique life experience makes things confusing of how you feel about things or what you want or what matters mm-hmm. to you. But you get to spend time forming a different belief. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to do things different. If maybe you've been wanting to get filler really bad, maybe you hate that thin top lip that you have, mm-hmm. and this was the episode that made you realize, no, I really want to do that, great.
Yeah.
Or if you've been thinking of getting like facial balancing and you realize, you know what, I don't need to do that, that's great. Like, there's no right answers here. Mm-hmm. All of these things are just tools and mechanisms. What makes it is you. Mm-hmm. The motivation behind it, your reasoning, what it helps you feel, what it hurts, like all of that is about you. And the only way to sort through that is spending time figuring out what it is that you need.
Yeah. It's complicated. It's messy. It's nuanced.
We didn't cover all of it.
Yeah. We have more episodes to do. Let us know specifically what parts of this you like, you relate to. Yeah. We will have a nicer, cleaner version of this on Substack.
Yep.
And we've been having some really great discussions on Substack. So
yeah,
please come join us over there and let us know what you relate to, what you think, what you agree with us on, what you disagree with us on.
And again, anything that you can do to share about the pod, rate, review, subscribe, means the world to us. And it's the biggest help that we can ask for right now in getting the word out and helping this grow. And we're just really grateful for you. And we're really proud of what we're doing and what we're building. And we're really glad that you're here with us.
See you next week.
Bye.